You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Every year, hundreds of thousands of people gather in the West End to participate in Vancouver's largest one-day event, the Pride Parade. While the parade is a celebration in Vancouver, in many other parts of the world, it would be classified as a protest or be completely illegal. Ken Coolen is the director of Vancouver's Pride Parade. He recently traveled around the world to help put on Pride events. During that trip, he experienced firsthand the persecution that the queer community still faces globally. His trip was documented in the film Beyond Gay, The Politics of Pride. Red Eye Collective member Esther Sia spoke with director Bob Christie and producer Maurice Chapdelaine at their recent screening of the film at the CODEV World Community Film Festival. Esther began by asking Bob what inspired him to make the film.
One of the first things that came to my attention was a piece of footage that Ken Coolen from the Vancouver Pride Society brought to my attention, and it was a video that's shown at their conferences of prides in Eastern Europe. And it just showed how much organized opposition there is to prides in Eastern Europe, particularly places like Croatia, Warsaw, Moscow, and Serbia. And it was shocking to me that there was still such hostility in places that, you know, by my imagination, were big bustling cities and must have a thriving queer community. And that just is the case in some respects, but all of it happening underground, essentially. And that any public displays are just met with, like, violence, essentially. Eggs and rocks and whatever. So, that's what really inspired me to go to these places with Ken and Maurice and just experience for ourselves what that was like. I mean, we live in a bit of a utopian bubble here in Vancouver of gay love, and I think just being out there in the world where it's not as easy was really life-changing, literally. And getting jumped in Moscow and punched in the head, that was something as well.
That was exciting.
Yeah.
Along with the organized opposition to holding an event like Pride, you also touched on other forms of oppression that gay people are facing. And for example, you talked to a woman in Sri Lanka that told us about curative rape. Tell us about that.
She's a spectacular woman. And that was something that was, of course, also very eye-opening for us. We'd heard a bit, but again, curative rape is not something that's really been in the vernacular for people in North America, because it just seems so horribly bizarre and weird, and why would it even go on? And to hear the stories from South Africa particularly, but then from Sri Lanka, and then from other people talking about how it's going on in South Africa and other African nations and in the Middle East, where when, you know, young women most often start experimenting with their sexuality, or their parents or family find out that they are indeed, you know, attracted to another woman, they would rally friends, family members, and beat that girl up, whether it's a sister or daughter, and often rape her to convince her that what you're doing is wrong and that you've got to live a heterosexual lifestyle. And often, I mean, of course, it's never going to work. As she says in the film, you can't beat sexuality out of someone. But it's this strange, inbred religious notion that it's so wrong that they've got to do something really strong and physical and harming in order to get them to stop it. So it was a very scary thing. I still am so moved every time I even watch that segment. So.
And it doesn't just happen in, you know, the Middle East and Africa as well. We heard stories of the same situations happening in Poland from our contact Thomas there. So,
you also interviewed another man from Jamaica who was seeking asylum in Canada. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Gareth Henry is an activist from JFLAG in Jamaica, or was. But he had to flee Jamaica in 2008 because There were just so many threats against his life. 13 of his friends had been murdered. I mean, I can't even imagine one of my friends being murdered, but 13 because they were gay. And literally, in one situation, you know, this man was first harassed by the police, and then a mob gathered around, and they, you know, just asked that the police hand him over, and they would finish the deed, and they did that, killed him, chopped him up with machetes, and that was, I mean, sadly, that is not a one-off story. It happens many times, and in 2006, Jamaica was named the most homophobic place on earth. So
there have been strides made, certainly in Jamaica. I know even just last year, they were able to hold their first Pride event. It was, I don't know how hugely attended it was, but the fact that they were able to do a little bit of something was great positive news. It really brought us a lot of excitement, because ever since hearing that story and sharing it with people as we traveled around with the film, it was a lot of amazement. I thought they had no idea that, you know, this little Caribbean island was so homophobic. So.
And then how did you guys manage your security in making this film, going to places where there's such oppression?
Well, we chose, first of all, places that we already had a contact with the Pride organizers, so that from the beginning, the idea was that it was a film that's from the inside of the organizers, from the planners of these events. So we kind of took their lead on most things. It was nerve-wracking at times, just because you're not quite sure how safe you are ever, particularly in Warsaw and Moscow, I think is where we felt the greatest danger. And as I mentioned, we did, you know, get attacked briefly in Moscow. But I mean, 10 seconds after the guy punched us, he ran away, which kind of shows how much courage there was really there. We went to places where it was already, where we already had contact with people, and we didn't go to, we sent a satellite crew to go to Sri Lanka, so we didn't actually attend that event ourselves. But everywhere else that the film takes place, it was actually not illegal to be gay there. It was still, it had been at least decriminalized. Whether or not the Pride events were legal or not depends on exactly where we were, but it wasn't literally just against the law for us to show up in those places. So I felt that was important, just traveling with it was basically a team of four of us for most of it, and that, you know, we were kind of obvious and best to be safe.
In your film, I mean, you also visit places like Sao Paulo, like Toronto, like New York, where they are more gay-friendly. So how does that play into the movie?
Well, we needed to show some contrast between, you know, different cities around the world. And we felt that was very important, so that people could see where it's come, where the Pride movement has come, and how it's embraced. But it also opened up another, you know, story within the film, which was the apathy in those places like Toronto, New York, even Vancouver to a certain extent, where the older generation thought, I don't want to go anymore. What's the point of me going to a parade? It's all these kids hopping around. They don't remember why they're here. There's no sense of history. And the younger kids that were coming out and going to the events, for them as well, it was sort of their, you know, when's the next big party? Who's DJing? What's going on? So there was this gap in the generations that we wanted to try to bridge, so that people could start to realize, you know, this is why this has happened in the first place. Like Stonewall happened in New York way back when because of these riots, and that's why people originally were marching, and because they're still fighting for rights, and they are in many places in the world. And for the older generation, it was great for them to sort of start seeing that appreciation in the younger set as well. So it that again, it sort of is a little bit of another storyline that we follow that sort of explores, you know, why we're out there marching in the first place.
I think it was significant and kind of important that the film came from North America and that particularly Canada and Vancouver, because it's a celebration, and I wanted it from the beginning to be a film that was a celebration of our queer culture in many ways, and the accomplishments that we have made in Canada, which I think are fantastic, and that I think too often we take for granted. And I often find with queer film, not just documentary, but all queer films are oftentimes about our persecution and not about our celebration. And I wanted to make a film that celebrated, you know, what we have accomplished and where we are at now. And I think, you know, there aren't many places in the world that literally this film could have come from and speak in sort of the vernacular it does, because we're one of the few places that does have equal marriage and protection against discrimination and, you know, just the right to live our lives freely. And, you know, there's only six or seven nations in the world that are providing that. And even within those, there's some of those where it's there, but even culturally, we're not accepted or tolerated or whatever word you choose in the same way that I think happens in Canada. And I think that all goes back to Trudeau and the state has no place in the bedrooms of the nation.
And what impact do you hope your film will have?
I hope it's seen by a lot of people, which so far is going pretty good. We've played in over 60 screenings in 15 different countries or something like that. So, and I hope Canadians watch it and take note of how lucky we are and hopefully maybe become a little bit motivated to get involved and make sure that we hang on to the rights and freedoms that we've achieved in this country, and we don't let them slowly be eroded by government or police or policy. I think it was, as Morris said earlier, it was inspired largely by a frustration over the apathy in our own community, not just the gay community, but the straight community as well, that, you know, we don't appreciate what we have here, and we're not really taking care of our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world in the way that we could.
And that was Esther Sia in conversation with director Bob Christie and producer Maurice Chapdelaine on their critically acclaimed documentary Beyond Gay, The Politics of Pride. If you want more information, including screening dates, you can visit them on Facebook, or you can visit them at their website, biggaymovie.com.